I want to ask a question this morning that probably most everyone in here that's older than 10 thinks they know the answer to. But I want us to examine it in the light of what the Scriptures have to say about it to see if what we think we know is accurate. Question is, does God want me to tithe? Does God want me to tithe? Now, there's a lot said in the religious world about tithing. And there's some Scriptures in the Bible that speak about tithing. And so the question that we have to ask ourselves today is, does God want me to do this? Am I supposed to? Is this something that God has commanded me to do? If so, then I need to be sure I'm doing it right according to the way that the Bible teaches it. If not, I need to figure out what He does want me to do in regards to my giving. And so we know that tithe is a reference to giving. Usually in our modern society, a tithe is the giving of money, but certainly in other times, other things. So let's examine, first of all, the definition of tithe. The word tithe quite literally means a tenth or 10%. And in particular, to give that tenth for some purpose. In the Bible, a tithe refers to a tenth, that 10%, that's given to God or to His representative. Obviously, it would be rather difficult for us to actually give anything directly to God. So in most of the cases of tithing in the Bible, there was a representative from God, ordained by God, to collect that tithe. So that's the definition of the word. Now let's look and examine the description of tithing as it's revealed to us in the Bible. So let's look at the description of tithing in the Bible. And we're going to now look at a few verses that will help us to understand a little bit about it. We want to answer four different scenarios here. First of all, who was to give the tithe? Secondly, how was it to be given? Third, what was to be done with it? And then the fourth part, we want to just briefly look at the difference between tithes and other offerings that were given. Some people might not even know there was a difference. They might not realize all of the things there. And we're not going to spend near the time on this that it deserves. We really can't in one session. Maybe we can come back to it another time and deal with it a little further. Let's go to our scripture reading that was read to us. In the New Testament, tithing is only mentioned in four different passages. Two of those passages are things that Jesus said, and they're both nearly identical because He was rebuking the Pharisees about the way they practiced tithing. Those are in Matthew 23:23 and in Luke 11:42. He rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees in both of those for the way that they practiced their tithing. The third is in Luke 18:12. And that is where a Pharisee has gone up to the temple to pray. You remember the Pharisee and the tax collector or the publican that went up to the temple to pray? And one of the things the Pharisee says is, "I fast twice in the week." Now, you don't hear a whole lot of people hollering about how we need to be sure we fast twice in a week. But he says, "I give tithes of all that I possess." And we do hear a lot of teaching about the tithing part that he said. Of course, he's lying. He might have given tithes of all he increased, but I doubt seriously he gave tithes of all he possessed. If that were the case, each year he would have to give a tenth of what he kept the year before. And he certainly didn't do that. But he said that he did. He was claiming that he gave all of the tithes that he was supposed to give. The final passage that speaks of tithing in the New Testament is the passage in Hebrews chapter 7 that was read for our scripture reading. And we want to look at a few things in there because a lot of the things that are in Hebrews chapter 7 help us to understand tithing and what not only what the tithing was in the Old Testament and the Law of Moses, but also helps us to understand some things about the New Testament and the new covenant that we're under with Christ. The book of Hebrews in general is written about the differences between the law of Moses and the law of Christ. And it's significant that the only passage of Scripture after Jesus' death on the cross that mentions tithing is in a section of Scripture where the differences between the old and new law are being illustrated and described. He says in Hebrews chapter 7, let's begin in verse 5, "And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law." Let's stop right there for a minute. Who was to give the tithe? The people. What people? Did the Levites go all over the world collecting tithes? No, I fear they would have had a great deal of difficulty doing that. Do you think they went to Assyria and said, "Hey, y'all give us tithes"? I'm sure they would have been executed if they'd have tried that. Did they go down to Egypt and say, "We're here to collect our tithes"? Or what people? When the Hebrew writer says they collected tithes of the people, he then says, according to the law. Well, who were the people according to the law? Those were the people who were under God's law. The Jews, the Israelites. So the Israelites were to give the tithe. And we might ask here as well, to whom was it given? It was given to the Levites. Now that gives us a great deal of difficulty today in the Christian religion, because we don't have Levites. We don't have a special priesthood made up of people who descended from the son of Jacob named Levi. And yet, according to the commandment, the sons of Levi who received the office of the priesthood have the commandment to take the tithe. So if we're going to give tithes, they have to be given to the Levites. We're now looking at how was it to be given. First of all, it was to be given to the Levites. The second thing then that we see in this passage as well is that it was to be given by that commandment. And notice what he says, "who received the office of the priesthood have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law," that is, of their brethren. The Levites only had a commandment to take tithes from their brethren. In other words, their fellow Israelites. They did not have the command to take tithes from the Gentiles. And we're Gentiles. Some people will often say, "We're no longer under the law of Moses. We're under the law of Christ. We're not under the law of Moses any longer." That's half true. It's true that we are under the law of Christ. The other half isn't true. When they say we're no longer under the law of Moses, as Gentiles, we never were under the law of Moses. The law of Moses was a law given to the children of Israel and to their generations and to their generations and to their children and to their children's children. And then the Bible in many cases says then that God, as He's giving these laws to the Israelites, says, "And I give it to you forever." That literally translated is till the end of the age. Well, we're under a different age now. We're under the Christian age. Not under the Mosaical age any longer. Let's read on. "That is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham. So, wait a minute, now we got another, some other tithes that are mentioned here that were not involving the Levites. So let's examine these. Somebody received some tithes of Abraham. Now, if somebody got tithes from Abraham, it couldn't have been any of the Levites, because the Levites came after Abraham was dead, because they would have been his great-grandchildren. Way on down the line. In fact, the Levites were not put in the position of the priesthood until some 400 years after Abraham. So, this is some different type of tithing going on here. Let's look at it a little bit. He says then, and he blessed him that had the promises. Then let's move down a little bit to verse number 8. He says, and here men that die receive the tithe. But there, he's talking about this case with Abraham, which goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 14. In verse number 20, says, and he, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he, Abraham, gave him, Melchizedek, tithes of all. Abraham had gone to war, and he had plunder, and he was coming back from the war, and he met Melchizedek, who was king of Salem, prince, a priest of the Most High God. And Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And Abraham gave him a tenth, gave him the tithe of the portion that he had taken in battle. Well, does this apply to us? Well, certainly not. This is even back before the law of Moses. So this is an even older law than the law of Moses. The law of Moses replaced this law, and now we're under the law of Christ. He says, and as I may say, so say, Levi also, who received receives tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, or through Abraham paying the tithes, Levi also paid the tithes. Because you realize that the Levites didn't have to pay a tithe. They received the tithe. They didn't pay the tithe. I know a lot of preachers today who still say they don't have to give to the church, because they are getting the tithe, and so they don't need to give. They're going back to the same law. The Levites didn't give a tithe because they were receiving the tithe. But those preachers who say that today aren't Levites. What did God think about Jeroboam when he set up those idols and told the people to bring their tithes to him, or to his priests who were not Levites that he had set up at those golden calves in Bethel and Dan? Was God pleased with that? When he said, don't go back down to Jerusalem and take your tithes down there. Just bring them here. God was not pleased at all with that. God had established the law for the people of Israel that they were to bring their tithes to Jerusalem, and to give those tithes to the Levites. And then the Levites, of course, distributed those tithes to some degree. Let's look at the actual tithing that took place in the Old Testament. Because I think this is something that we don't look at very often. Because this is a very interesting part of the tithing itself. Let's look in Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse number 6. Well, let's actually begin in verse number 5 to get a little bit of reference here. God told them to tear down all of the places where the people of the land worshipped. And he says, but unto the place, not places, mind you, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there. Do we know where that place was? Where did God choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put His name there? He chose Jerusalem. And He chose to have His temple built in Jerusalem, didn't He? That was the only temple He ever had. And that was the only place He ever had a temple built. Even in the days of Jesus, when the children of Israel had departed so far from some of the things that God had taught them in the old law, they still only had one temple in Jerusalem. Now, they had synagogues where they got together and studied the Word and sang and did some other things, but they didn't give the tithe in their synagogues. The tithe came to Jerusalem. Notice what he says in verse 5. Even unto his habitation, where he lived. Where did God say he was going to live? He was going to live among his people in that temple. He was going to come down to that temple. Shall ye seek? And thither, there, in other words, you shall come. And there you shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and heave offerings of your hand and your vows and your freewill offerings and the firstling of your herds and of your flock. They were supposed to bring a lot of stuff there. You see, tithing is just one little part of all the things they were supposed to give to God. That's going to be very important later as we look at our responsibilities, and we'll really look at some of that in the New Testament, from the New Testament teaching on giving next week. But he says, you bring all of these things there, and then notice verse 7, because verse 7 is fascinating. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all you put your hand unto, ye and your household, wherein the Lord thy God has blessed thee. Eat. What are they going to eat? They're going to come there and eat? Yes, they sure are. Verse 17, he says, thou mayest not eat within thy gates the tithe. In other words, in whatever city you live in, you can't eat the tithe there. But I do. Of course they can't eat the tithe. They've got to give that to God, right? Let's keep reading. You shall not eat the tithe within thy gates, the tithe of the corn, or of the wine, or of thy oil, or of the firstlings of the herds, or of the flock, nor any of thy vows that thou vowest, nor any free will offering, or heave offering of thine hand. Verse 18. But thou must eat them. What's that? The tithes, the offerings, the sacrifices, the firstlings. Thou must eat them before the Lord your God in the place which the Lord your God shall choose. You, your son, your daughter, your servant, and the Levite that is within your gates, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God in all that you put your hand to. Notice what he says. Wait a minute, I thought we were giving this tithe to God. But he says that the people who bring the tithe are going to get to eat it right there. And when's the last time a church practiced that? Oh, they don't. Let's all, notice the Levites that were within their gates and all of them were supposed to get together and all go to Jerusalem and bring their tithes and their offerings, make their sacrifices, and then they were going to eat it. They were going to have a big festival. They were going to have a big party, in essence, a feast together. But he said, you can't do it in your hometown. But what is the one thing that almost every church that teaches about tithing teaches regarding tithing? You leave your tithe here. If you go off somewhere, you leave your tithe here. That's not what God said. God didn't ever tell anybody to leave their tithe anywhere. He told them to bring it to Jerusalem. Everybody had to bring their tithe to Jerusalem. We also need to understand tithing was not a weekly type thing. It was a one time a year thing. Each year. Well, I mean, obviously, if they're going to have to travel all the way to Jerusalem, they're not going to do that every week. They'd come once a year to Jerusalem and bring these tithes and offerings. Deuteronomy chapter 14 teaches us the same thing. Thou shalt truly tithe all thy increase of thy seed that the field brings forth year by year. See, not week by week, but year by year. Each year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place where he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thine oil, of the firstlings of thy herds, of thy flock, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. Notice one other thing that he says about it. In Deuteronomy 26 and verse 12, he talks about a special tithe. Every third year, they were supposed to make a special tithe that they would give to the Levite, and it would also be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within your gates and be filled. This was a special tithe that they gave for the poor on the third year. So let's ask the questions then. Who was to give the tithe? Well, it was supposed to be the Israelites, the children of Israel, the brethren of the Levites. How was it to be given? It was to be given every year. It was to be given in Jerusalem. And it was to be given by consuming it. Now here's one thing that he says in Leviticus chapter 27 in verses 30 through 32. He says, "And all the tithe of thy land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It's holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithe." So in other words, if you maybe you needed that corn to plant seed for next year, so you said, I can't give this corn because I won't have enough seed corn to plant for next year. So I'm going to redeem this. The Lord said, if you're going to redeem it, then you add a fifth part to it. You add another 20% of the 10, so another 2% of your total to it. So you couldn't very well add 2% more of the corn if you were going to keep the corn. Well, you would have to then exchange that for money and bring that much value. That's where we get then the idea of money. Because obviously most of us aren't farmers or shepherds or cattlemen. So we don't have those kinds of things to bring. But do you realize, according to the tithe, everything was supposed to be tithe. While Jesus did, we mentioned those passages in Matthew and Luke earlier, Jesus condemned the scribes and Pharisees. He says, "You pay tithe of the mint, anise, and cumin, which are just little herbs that grew in their garden." Now, he didn't say that was a bad thing. In fact, he says at the end of that passage, "These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." So if we're going to tithe, then not only would we tithe of our income, but if we have a little garden, guess what? 10% of every tomato, 10% of every okra, 10% of every potato plant, whatever we've got growing in that garden, 10% of it, we better bring to the Lord. And if we're not going to bring the actual thing itself, then we've got to bring that value of that much plus an extra fifth to pay for it. People sure don't teach that and sure don't practice that, do they? But that's what he tells them. He tells the children of Israel that they are to bring these things. The other thing that he tells them is that if they can't carry all of it because Jerusalem's too far, then what they can do is they can exchange those goods for money and bring the money. And then when they get there, they can then buy sheep or corn or wine or whatever they desire and have that to celebrate the feast with. It's quite different than the practice of today, where you bring your tithe and leave your tithe. So what was to be done with that tithe? They were supposed to bring it and have a big celebration and eat it. Them and their families, their servants, the Levites that were from their town. When Jesus' parents were taking him up to Jerusalem, what do you think they were going to do? Why do you think they were traveling with all of their family and friends? From everybody from their town had gone up to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. That's the way the tithe was practiced in the Old Testament time. Now, what about the difference in tithes and offerings? The tithe, we'll do this real quick. The tithe was 10% of everything that you increased. If you had 5 cows at the beginning of the year and 3 of them had calves, then you had to give what would have been the equivalent of a third of one of those cows. If you had 10 cows and each one of them had a calf, and you've got 10 new calves, and you've got to give one of those calves 10% of everything. If you've got 100 bushels of corn out of your field, then you've got to give 10 bushels. Everything works that way. Now then, that's the tithe. What about the offerings? Well, there were all sorts of different offerings. There were sin offerings, and there were burnt offerings, and there were guilt offerings. There were all kinds of offerings that they had to do on certain... Then there was also a free will offering. Somebody could say, boy, you know, last year and the year before, I only got 100 bushels of corn. This year, I got 130. So instead of just bringing my 13, which will be the 10th, I'm going to go ahead and bring God 20. I'm going to bring Him an extra 7 just because He's been so good to me this year. And so they bring extra. Because God had prospered them more that year. You get a lot of people teaching in churches today that people ought to be suffering to the point where they're letting their bills go so that they can be giving extra to the church. The free will offering was always two things. One, it was free will. And two, it always came because the person had extra that they didn't need or that wasn't going to provide for the necessities of life. But that wasn't the tithe. The tithe was always 10% regardless. So there is some difference in those offerings and in those tithes. There was also the first fruits. You brought the firstborn of every, the first child of every cow, the first calf she has, that one belongs to God. Then after that, every 10-1 is going to belong to God. That was the way it worked. Well, what about the doctrine of modern tithing? We've seen from the verses we've looked at that the doctrine of modern tithing that's taught in churches does not follow the biblical pattern. But also we see that it relies entirely on commands from the old law, from the law of Moses. These very same pastors who teach so diligently on tithing, and you've got to tithe, aren't keeping the Sabbath day. They don't worship on Saturday, but they're trying to enforce tithing. They're not Levites who were supposed to receive the tithe, but they want to enforce tithing. You see, the doctrine of modern tithing causes confusion about God's law and which part of that law we are to keep. Anytime people inconsistently apply the Word of God and apply this part but don't apply that part, they get into trouble. We looked in Deuteronomy chapter 14. Well, actually, I guess we looked a lot in 12, but 14 also talks about it, says some of the same things. It's interesting that in the section in Deuteronomy chapter 14 that talks about tithing, that starts in verse 22 and goes down through the end of the chapter. That's the one where he tells them they can exchange their tithe for silver. I mentioned it and then bring the money and then buy whatever they want there to have for the feast. I mentioned it, but I didn't tell the passage, chapter and verse. Before that, in the same chapter now, in the same chapter where he teaches them about tithing, he also teaches them the difference between clean and unclean foods, that what they can and can't eat. And it's in that same chapter that he teaches them that they can't eat catfish and they can't eat anything that comes off a pig. And you've got men today who want to enforce the tithing that's in the latter part of that chapter, but I guarantee you they'll have a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. Or they'll have some sausage with their eggs in the morning. And they'd love to come to our catfish fry on the 13th of next month. But they want to enforce the tithing. How are you going to pick half of a chapter and say, we've got to do this, but this part doesn't apply to us? Either all of the law or none of the law. If we believe that Jesus was crucified and nailed that old law to the cross, why are we still trying to be bound by it? The other thing that I want to mention regarding tithing is that tithing just isn't sufficient for the blessings that God has given us. The book of Hebrews talks about the fact that we are under a better law, that it's a better covenant, that there are better promises, that we have a better high priest, and everything's better. Why do we still want to pay the same thing? We still want to pay the same price, but we want something better. Now, I know a lot of you probably are ready to go get a better car than the one you've got. I know I'd like to go get a better car than the one I've got. If I go to get a better car, I'm going to have to pay more for that better car, aren't I? And I'm not going to complain about paying more for a better car, because it's better. But we want to have a better covenant with better promises and a better high priest, and we still want the same discount price to apply. Some people might say, you know, well, you tell this about tithing, and it's in the Old Testament, and we're not under the Old Testament law, and so I guess we just don't have to give it all anymore then. We're free from that. We don't have to give it all. No, that's not the case. While the New Testament does not teach us to tithe, it's never mentioned in a single letter to the churches except for the one we looked at in Hebrews that talked about the tithing in the Old Testament, and didn't command the Hebrews to practice it, even though it's never taught in the New Testament, giving is taught. And we're going to look at that next week. We're going to look at, if God doesn't still expect me to follow the Old Testament practice of tithing, then how am I supposed to give? What am I supposed to do? If He doesn't want me to take my 10% and go to Jerusalem with it and give it to the Levites, well, what am I going to do? What am I supposed to do? Because I want to give to God. Don't we want to give to God? I mean, we talked last week about what a giver He is. He gave and gave and gave, so He didn't have anything left to give. We want to give back to Him, but how? How can we do it so that we will please Him in our giving? We'll look at that next week. What does the New Testament say about giving? We've examined what the Old Testament law was, and we've seen that the only time tithing is mentioned in the New Testament, three times it's in the Gospels before the death of Christ, before the Old Testament was nailed to the cross, and the other passage in Hebrews is talking about that Old Testament tithing and talking about the change in the law that taught that Old Testament tithing, the change from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So what does God want us to do about giving? We'll look at that next week. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation for any reason, perhaps you're not a Christian. You can be. if you'll hear, as Luke 21:38 tells us, if you'll believe, as John 3:15 and 16 teaches, if you'll be willing to repent, as Luke 15 and verse 10 tells us we should, and if you'll be willing to confess, as 1 John 4:2 and 3 does, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who came in the flesh and died and rose again. If you'll be willing to submit yourself to be baptized, just as Crispus and many others were baptized in Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, and be willing to live faithful to Him as Jesus taught in Matthew 28 and verse 20. If you'll do those things, you're ready to follow Him, ready to give your life to Him. You can do that today. You can have your sins washed away. If you're here and you are a Christian, but perhaps you haven't been living your life as you should, you may need to respond to the invitation as we stand and as we sing.